You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.
This is a really interesting question, because sometimes I think in our eyes, we see ourselves certainly less than.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly not worthy of, but ordinary. And so I love this question.
Okay, Nancy, does God care about ordinary people like me and Steve and all of us other ordinary folks?
You know, yes, of course, but... it's funny that tricks, it's not funny, it's tragic the tricks that our mind plays on us, thanks to the coordination and efforts of Satan, just trying to discourage us. And I'm finding in teens, and this week, more than usual, I talked to two different young men this week, just bumped into them through life, and both of them were in a quandary as to, who am I? What should I do? And one, a graduate from college, said, I went in healthy, spiritually healthy, and I don't know who I am. I can't get it together. So I don't know if it's the times now more than ever, but I just think it's such a good question. Does God really see anybody as ordinary? It should have been the question. I think we all wonder at times, with all the extraordinary people in this world, where do I fit in? And I think, again, what do we mean by extraordinary? The thing is, people that you see on TV and on the stage are probably asking the same question. That word ordinary, what does it mean? I read this week a note from a teenager, and it said this: I'm not the smartest or best looking person. I have no reason in my mind why people would remember or care about me. Many in my life have made it clear that I'm a complete loser, and I tend to agree with them. This sentiment of this particular teen are echoed daily by millions of young people who are trying to make sense of a broken and dark culture that has consumed them. And when we think about this, the culture these days is very dark. It's broken in all ways. And I think it causes many of us to stumble as we get caught up in it. Hey, wait a minute, who am I? Who am I really? And one thing I think we need to go back to is the basics. And I'm thinking too, Kelly and Steve, you both are parents. This is a great question to go over with your kids, your teens, if you have them, or your grandchildren. It is just good. Do you ever wonder if God sees you as ordinary? You know, these kind of questions, because I think it will help all of them. Psalm 139, 13 through 16, you know, reminds us that God doesn't see those who he created as anything but absolutely extraordinarily remarkable. Whether you feel like it or not, that's how he sees you. Listen to this. For you formed my innermost parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. What is saying here is, before we were born, before God knit us, which means he took time to create us in our mother's womb, he knows the days. He knows everything about us. He lives in a timeless state. He knows the beginning and through eternity. I don't get it. It's bigger than my mind can grasp. But this much I do know, that God loves us. He created us to know him, to love him, and to be able to navigate in this mess with him. We matter to God, and what matters about us, what is in us that matters, God looks on our hearts, not on outward appearance, not on how we have performed or not performed, or how the world sees us. God looks on our heart, 1 Samuel 16:17. And God instructed Samuel, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see man, For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart.
Well, I think this brings up a really good point right here, because we're talking about ordinary people, and the Bible is full of stories about God using just plain Jane people like you and me, but ordinary people do some pretty remarkable things when they allow God to work through them. Tell us one of those stories.
Yes. You know, I love it. And if you were looking, all of these people, if they applied for a job today, their resumes would be so bad you wouldn't even consider them. But again, God doesn't look on that stuff that we think is important. He looks on the heart. And one of the most well-known is Moses, who, you know, floated in a basket. I mean, his whole life from beginning to end was quite remarkable. But he ended up a prince of Egypt. He murdered an Egyptian. He then had to escape into the desert region, and he lived as a shepherd just out wherever for 40 years. And again, who would blame Moses to think that God had forgotten him? But God had not forgotten him. He had a plan for his life, and he told him to go to the Pharaoh, remember, to free the Israelites from Egypt. And it's like, I have hidden for 40 years. Now I'm going to go back to Pharaoh, who wants to kill me, and tell him to free it. And he said, oh, my Lord, you know, I'm not eloquent. Either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and of tongue. And God replied, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute, deaf, seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you will say. And, of course, we know the end of the story. Moses obeyed and saved the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. I mean, it is incredible how God uses. He knows our heart. He knows those who are listening and who will be willing to obey. That's mm-hmm. the key.
Yeah, we're with the biblical worldview question of the week, and I want to remind you of what that was to begin with. Does God care about ordinary people like me and like everybody else that thinks they're ordinary? And David was just most certainly ordinary. I mean, the day that he was going to be anointed king as just a very, very young man, he was completely overlooked, even by his own father. Talk about David as ordinary and what God did through him.
Yes, yeah, so remember when they were looking for a king,
mm-hmm.
and they looked at all of his brothers and forgot about him. He was just a little runt, you know, shepherd out in the field someplace, you know. But it's worth mentioning again, because everybody discounted David because he was less than ordinary, really, and he was a teenager and a shepherd boy, the lowest on the rung in that culture. And so he went, you know, when Goliath was taunting the Israelites, of course, David showed up, and he said when he wanted to go out and fight Goliath, and Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. And David told the giant, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the enemies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down, cut off your head. Sounds like an incredible, scary movie that we're watching, but it is history. This is the truth. And then he took his slingshot and a few stones and killed the giant Philistine. I mean, there it is right there. Boom. God doesn't follow the rules as man follows. Thank God for that. But here we see a young teen. And, of course, that reminds us of Mary, a young teen, 13, 14 years old, living in Nazareth, a very common town, and the angels sent her with a message that would change the course of the world forever. You're going to give birth to the Messiah by an angel, you know. And again, the important thing in all of this is, what was Mary's reply? What, where was her heart? And what she said is, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to you as I have said. Because she knew the voice of God. And again, really amazing stories of the kind of people that God used. And that we're just scratching the surface this morning on these people.
Well, here we are so far removed from that moment when she is met by the angel, and God is still using ordinary people today to impact the lives of others. So what about some examples of today where God is using people, ordinary people, to impact others?
Yes, and I think we see this in schools, thank God, for the Christians that are acting out their faith. You know, a group of girls went to lunch. One of the gals at their table noticed a friend who was sitting next to by herself. And she went over and asked her if she'd like to include her friends for lunch. And little acts of kindness where God calls us to go on a daily basis. It doesn't have to be killing a giant, but rather reaching out to people who are lonely and just looking for some comfort, looking for some friendship. And it's interesting, this is the story that was written on this. After she asked if it would be okay to include her friends for lunch, her friend was thankful for the invite and had fun. And I guess when she was leaving, her mom and dad were getting a divorce. And in the process, and she had convinced herself that she was unlovable. And for the first time in months, this girl said, I feel like I matter. And the case in point, we have no idea what small acts of kindness can do to a person, especially here where we take a lonely person who thinks they're less than ordinary, just invite them to eat lunch with you and make them feel that they do matter. And I know this personally, that this happened. A guy at work noticed a friend who had worked with him was unusually down, and he couldn't get his friend off his mind all day. So he stopped at his house later on his way home to check on him. And by God's grace, he interrupted his buddy's plan to kill himself that afternoon. An act of kindness and compassion saved a life. This is what we're talking about, real every day. People are hurting, and to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, to respond in love, not the big things that they're going to write about in history, but the ordinary, everyday things.
So then, Nancy, given that, as we wrap this up this morning, how can we encourage ourselves in the Lord when we feel like we're ordinary or even less than ordinary, and we just don't think we have anything to offer anybody?
Yeah. I think it's because we don't see ourselves as God sees us, number one. Again, he sees us as we are. Maybe not feel like it is extraordinary because of what we can do with a heart that loves him and is willing and ready to go and go wherever God calls us. And this is it. You know, being in communication with God throughout the day makes us aware of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit nudges us to encourage someone, to visit a friend, to pray, I mean, actually pray here for somebody who is hurting, to get into the scriptures, whatever it is, giving our Lord the bare minimum is not how we achieve victory in this life. It's just a nod to God is not what he's asking here. To become and live in that extraordinary way that God made us to live. We are to have conversations and stay in community with God so he can make a difference in the lives of those around us. You know, 1 Corinthians 1, 26-27, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standard. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble born. But God shows what is foolish in this world to shame the wise. God shows what is weak in the world to shame the strong. in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. So here we have it. And I think as we look at this, Steve and Kelly, 1 Thessalonians says, look, be at peace with yourself. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See to it that no one repays anyone for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So the will of us is to understand that we're extraordinary. And then we put feet to it, because God looks at our heart and he fills our heart with compassion. And you know, once we start doing this and be aware of our true calling, isn't to be heard, isn't to be noted in the history books, but rather to be a so-called ordinary people doing extraordinary things in the little ways for God.
You know, I just hate it that we fall so easily for that lie of the enemy that we don't matter. I mean, Jesus died for us, so surely there is a purpose and a plan. And I saw a quote last night, Nancy, before I let you go. I'm probably going to butcher this, and I wish I had it in front of me. Can't even remember who said it, but I thought it was, oh, no, I do remember who said it. It was Dane Ortlund. But it was something to the effect of, you're not defined by your scars, you're defined by his. He has a purpose for you. You may feel ordinary, and maybe that's a good thing. I don't know, for the sake of humility. I don't know. But when it starts to make us really become crippled in our walk with Christ, then we've got a problem, and we do need to encourage ourselves. So, Nancy, thanks for this morning. This has been fantastic. Really appreciate it. And for all of you that would like to get connected with Nancy's ministry, Biblical Worldview Ministry of Anchors Away, it's based in Carmel. A couple of ways you can do that. Nancy's website is anchorsaway.org. You can also click on the resources tab at morningswithkellyandsteve.org.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.